If you've never seen a sheep milking operation, I certainly hadn't before today, it's pretty much the same process as milking a cow, only everything is a lot smaller. The platform is smaller, the cups are smaller, and there's less animals going through each rotation. That was my first thought when I stepped into this sheep dairy in the state's southwest. Bruce and Jan Wild have been turning this sheep's milk into cheese for more than a decade now, and the farm is one of only a handful around Australia that milks ewes. At peak production, Bruce will be milking around 160 sheep, producing about 2 litres a day per ewe. I'm here to find out how the whole thing works.
It's similar to what they use for cows, it's just on a smaller scale. The principles are all the same. Vacuum settings are different, the pulse rates for the pulsation side of it is a lot faster because lambs suck a lot quicker than a calf does. Yeah, so
smaller but that higher intensity.
A lot quicker. If you go to Europe, there's more sheep in the world milked than cows.
Really?
Yeah.
And so.
But not in volume. Not volume. But
and no, so how many? Is it a big area of production here in Australia?
No, I think it's about 10 of us, I think, in the country at the moment. I know there's another guy just started up down the Porongah Ups. There's a bloke over Bunbury Way that does a little bit of feta and some yoghurt. But we do everything from start to finish. We do mature cheeses, soft white malt cheeses. We do feta, we do yoghurt. So, yeah, we do pretty much the whole thing.
In terms of running the sheep, what breed are they?
The milking side of it is East Friesland. We've got them crossed with Pole Dorsets. They did some trials at UWA. Dr. Roberta Bencini did some trials up there, and they trialled the East Friesian Pole Dorset, which we sent some of ours up for that. And they also tried the Awassi cross, which in the Middle East they call them an Asaf. They're a very, very flighty sheep.
They might not do so well when they're on the machine.
No, they're not quite like the Pole Dorsets. And I just didn't want to go down that track for that and a number of other reasons.
In terms of demand, what do people look for when they actually coming out to buy your sheep's cheese and the milk?
We've got a fairly good following of people that are intolerant to cow's milk.
Is that the lactose in it?
Well, all milk has lactose, but there's a totally different protein in the lactose of sheep milk compared to cow's milk. The sheep milk fats are very minuscule in size compared to cow's milk. And for that reason, sheep milk is 8 times more digestible than cow milk.
How much do you can you guesstimate that about a litre of sheep's milk is worth?
Well, the good book from Europe tells you around about 8 to 10 times the price of cow's milk to produce per litre.
And why is that?
I suppose volume. That's the downside. But the upside is cow's milk produces around 10 to 12% of cheese. So for 100 litres, you'll get 10 to 12 kilos of cheese. With sheep milk, you'll get around 25, 27, 28.
And why is that?
Just the solids content in sheep milk is so high, and the vitamins and minerals are just buy and sell cow's milk all over. Yeah.
And from where we're standing here in the dairy, you can peek through a window to where Bruce's son Tom is turning the milk into cheese.
So today I'm just making a hard cheese, one of our mature cheese called Farmhouse. I've just got a small batch today of about 210 litres. I'm just about ready to cut it now.
And so it looks like a big kind of bowl of vat of cream in a way. Is that reasonably solid?
It is. If you look closely now, I just put the knife in there and you can lift it up. It's, I guess, the consistency of a really soft yoghurt. So once I find out the consistency that I want, then I'll cut the whole vat up into small cubes, which I'll probably do right now.
Excellent. So at what point is really the most important, I guess, for determining the quality? Is it right now at the beginning, or is it how it ages?
It's both. It's every single different little factor in cheese making determines its outcome. So basically, because it's such a long time before we can eat the hard cheeses, we pretty much record everything that we do that's different. So if there's a batch that we change something slightly, it'll be recorded with an extra note, whether it's because we can't remember every batch in a year's time, so yeah, for that purpose it's what we do. But yeah, like I say, like it's hard to that's the thing with hard cheese making, because you've got to wait a year until you find out if you've improved it or not. But we've got a pretty good base recipe for our hard cheeses now, so we just try and stick to them a bit.
Do you find that there is much variation depending on, you know, the season, the quality of the milk that comes out of the sheep every year?
Yeah, there is. It definitely changes throughout the season. We have to adjust the recipe accordingly as well, and how we do it. Personally, the best hard cheese, I think, is made in the summer when the grass is dry. It makes like a really rich, sort of more of a nutty hard cheese. So, but that's just personal preference for me as well. But yeah, most of our hard cheese is made throughout the spring when we've got the bulk of the milk. It's, I guess, something what we thrive upon is having our, I guess, paddock to plate status, and we know where every part of the process is controlled by us ourselves, and you can also buy it straight out at the farm shop. So I guess where we are is we're not on the busiest tourist route, so we lose out a bit in that respect, but definitely if we can get more people to come out to the farm and see where it's made, would be great. And there's quite a lot of people that come repeat, you know, they come down on holidays every year and they come back every year. Yeah, I think people are starting to realise now and starting to wonder where their food's coming from, so it's going to be good for small businesses like us that make it all themselves.
Now, Bruce Wild says there is plenty of demand for his product, but there's not much growth domestically. He says because it's such a small industry, there are many challenges to get the right information and access appropriate research and development.
We bought 2 ewes and a ram back in 97, and we had semen collected off him when he was 4 months old, and that was a bit of insurance just in case he died. You never know with livestock. And the other reason is also down the track, we have brought other rams in, but we can also go back to him, to his semen base again, and use that. But there's no database available in Australia for sheep milk. As far as in the dairy industry, you can look up a database, Bridget, that'll give you, you know, like volumes of all the different traits that different bulls throw. But there's nothing available in this country for sheep. I'm not sure about over in Europe, but these East Frisians come from the border of Germany, Holland, an area called Friesland. And yeah, ideally, I suppose one day we might get over there and bring something back if there's not too much red tape involved.
Is there any way that you could try and get that information from sheep breeders who obviously would collect that kind of stuff about their wool and sheep meat, or is it just too small an industry that they couldn't really factor it in?
Well, yeah, there's only about 8 of us, I think, in the country that milk sheep, and we probably might be able to source something. I haven't tried as yet, source something from over east that might do the job. But yeah, just even one ram and a different bloodline would be handy. Yeah, but at the moment we're keeping some of the rams from the best milk producers we've got, and they're not all necessarily East Frisians. The East Frisian Pole Dorset crosses, some of those are producing a lot more milk than the purebreds. So yeah, so at the moment we've got to work along those lines.
Has it been difficult to work out your own breeding program with that kind of minimal industry information available?
Yeah, you just got to work at it, yeah, and just work on volumes and who's producing the best. And not only the milk side of it, it's the constitution, you know, who fares the best through the summer period. And some sheep, you know, fare better than others, simple as that. That doesn't matter what breed that is. Yeah, if you've got a good sheep with a good constitution, yeah, you need to sort of go towards those trends.
Having such little production of sheep's milk and sheep's cheese in the country, do you find that you get demand from interstate as well?
We do, but the problem with interstate is getting it across. For me to post at Australia Post, one wheel of cheese, a 10-kilo wheel, will cost me $180. Or cost the other end $180. It's got to go on the price. Yeah, so it's very difficult, that side of it, unless you're making enough to send pallet loads across. But I'm also looking at maybe exporting into Singapore at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to ask, internationally, where is a lot of sheep's milk and sheep's cheese consumed?
Well, the Chinese and the Japanese, they eat a fair bit of cheese, more so than the other Asian countries. So we get a lot of tourists here from those countries. And, yeah, there's a lot of interest from them.
And I guess in that Singapore market, you'd have that you know, higher quality kind of end that you could get hold of?
Yeah, well, we're looking at a place called Providor over there, hopefully. It's an Australian gentleman who sells top-end products, basically. And, if we can get in there, it'll be good.
And because of the quantity that you do produce and that really high cost of getting it interstate, is that freight over to a high quality market like Singapore really the best option for you?
Well, I haven't chased the freight side of it. I'm hoping to be able to get, if we get into Singapore, to get it in with other products that are going across, so we can do it by the pallet load. And that'll save a lot of money.